Okay, well, if you would, please turn in your Bibles this afternoon to John chapter 18. We are, Lord willing, going to finish out this chapter. Things kind of speed up for us, at least in this chapter. There'll be just a few things that we want to bring out. The latter portion, we started a little bit last week in this chapter. This is where Jesus had finished his prayer time there in chapter 17, and now in chapter 18, he now gets delivered to the high priest, and we've seen that last week in verses 1 down through verse 13 we read. We're going to pick back up again in verse 12, and then we'll read down through the remaining portion of the chapter in John chapter 18. It says, "Then the band and the captain of the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples, and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Or in that manner, or in that way? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. They've already convicted him so far. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying that death he should die. What death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you now, Lord, again, truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity you've given us to study a portion of your word. Again, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you be with me, Lord. Guide my mind and my thoughts. Bring to my mind those things that I've studied, Lord, and those things that I failed to write. I ask, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct in everything that's said and done in this time. We ask these things in Jesus Christ in his precious name. Amen. I want to duly note, actually, two things, and they're really kind of a, you mention one, and then you have to see the conflict of the other one. And I'd like to really focus on, first of all, the submission of our Savior. Jesus Christ did not have to submit to this. He did not. He had the power. He had the authority. He could have called 10,000 angels, it says, to be able to deliver him. But he submitted himself as our Savior. He was taken illegally, first of all, to Annas, which was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Caiaphas was actually the high priest, but Annas was not. And Annas was there because he was helping to draw up the conclusion, but this was not a legal thing. According to the Jewish law, it was not legal, but yet they did it anyways because he was an older man. He was the father-in-law of the Caiaphas, which was the high priest at the time, and they did that. Now, if you remember, and it briefly mentions it here in the text, that Caiaphas was mentioned there. It says that, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, verse 14, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. If you remember, we've studied that already in John chapter 11 and verses 49 through 52. It says, And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. This was, they were setting out at that point in time to kill Jesus. And when Caiaphas said this, it was only specifically focused at Jesus, not knowing the rest of it, but let alone, he didn't realize what all he was prophesying. And it says further on there in verses 49 through 52 of John chapter 11, And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. That Jesus Christ was not only going to die for the nation of Israel, but he was going to also die for all those that were God's children. In time past, and in time future, and even at that time, time present. Now, do you really believe that Caiaphas was a true high priest? No, because they weren't acting according to the Jewish law anyways, because a high priest was supposed to be a high priest for his whole life, and then it was supposed to be throughout his whole family. They were taken and pushed and pulled, and there was different people put into position as high priests. They weren't even following after the law, but yet the Lord used this man to still prophesy what was going to happen. The accusation was only supposed to be brought when they were to bring, when all of the men that were going to get him, which was the band of men, the officers from the chief priests and also the Pharisees, when they came, according to verse 3, they were to take him directly to the high priest, but that didn't happen. But when it did, Annas first was asking some very specific questions, but it was interesting. He wasn't asking about all of the details, but listen to what he was asking there in verse 18, or chapter 18 and verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his what? Disciples and of his doctrine. He asked him twofold questions. He asked about his disciples and he asked about his doctrine. Now, let's understand and look at this as we go through and do that. We need to understand that the Lord submitted himself in this submission, in this obedience, this act of obedience to his Father. He did it despite the overburdening, He said it despite being overburdened with your sin and with mine and with the rest of the sins of all those he was paying for. He did that despite that. He also did that not only because of that, but I believe that it seems that the bigger burden that Jesus was carrying was the burden of his Father turning his back on him. I believe that was the bigger burden because of the fact that we see that as he prayed in the garden, right? We remember that? We've seen that last week. He prayed in the garden, but it was in Gethsemane. Gethsemane was the wine press, or not the wine press, the olive press area, all right? That was in the Mount of Olives in the garden. We see that he went there frequently. We've seen that he went there to pray, and as he prayed that the Lord would remove the cup from him, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So as he prayed that, he was carrying that burden, but that turning, his Father turning his back on him was even worse, because as he was on the cross, he was heard saying in his last breath, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This was also documented in Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. Verbatim, same words, same context, same time. And then he gave up the ghost. That was what he said. It wasn't necessarily the burdens of the sin. No doubt that that was heavy. That was heavy because he was praying about that. That was what he was praying about in the garden or in that at Gethsemane. That was what he was praying about. But really, I believe the worst burden was his Father turning his back on him. Not only was he taken to Annas, and he was questioned, then he was taken to Caiaphas, but then he was taken to Pilate. Well, Pilate was interesting. He was the sixth Roman procurator of Judah and also Samaria. Now, when he goes there and he's taken there by the Jewish leaders, they wouldn't even go into the Hall of Judgment because it was the time of the Passover. So they couldn't go in there. It was that time to where they couldn't go in. We see that there in the scripture. It says in verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. So Pilate ended up having to go to them. And we see that in verse 29. Pilate then asked the question, what is the issue? What is the problem that you have with this man? Because after all, if he wasn't a malefactor, they wouldn't have brought him here, they said. Malefactor is a criminal. He was one worthy of judgment. the accusation worthy of death, according to the Jews, because it wasn't lawful for the Jews to put any man to death. They've already come to the conclusion that it was worth his death. His accusation was is that he claimed to be king of the Jews. Well, why is that a problem? Because there was only to be one king at that time. There's to be only one king. Jesus' final submission, after all the questioning, even the talk with Pilate. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? I believe that question was very specific, and that was to incriminate those that were accusing him. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Pilate already didn't think that it was a problem that Jesus claimed to be the king of the Jews. Didn't seem to me. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom were of this world. Then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king, to this end was I born. The long and short of that is, you're asking, I'm saying yes, I am. Jesus submitted himself as the king of the Jews. And he said, To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I love the fact that Pilate asks a very profound question. What is truth? As a Roman citizen, he didn't understand all of the teachings and all of the things that the Jews did. But the Jews did. They understood, or they should have known. In order to be a Pharisee, Sadducee, or any of those religious leaders, they had to know God's word. They had to know what was the prophecy, and yet they didn't know it in their heart. Now we see the submission of our Savior, but I want to look once more at the rebellion of a disciple. The rebellion of a disciple. No matter what, we always, and I've heard it I don't know how many times this week, and I don't know if it's the Lord just trying to show me bring it to my mind, but really, God gave and created man with a free will. We do realize that and know that, right? I mean, even within our own theology, we like to think that God has taken away that free will. He has not. He created us in his likeness, did he not? And the Lord has the gift of freedom of choice. Man has that freedom of choice. Problem is we chose sin rather than our Lord. Do we not make that same choice? Peter did. And I believe that was, I say that the rebellion of a disciple is really, it was two. Because when it says here in this text, it said that there were two that went in. It says in verse 15, And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. This disciple, we don't know who this disciple is. There are some that believe that it was John. And some believe that it was another one that was following Jesus maybe secretly, so they didn't divulge the name. We don't really know. And I guess it's really not important, although it would go along with how John has written the book of John. But I don't know how John would have known the high priest. But apparently he had some pull whoever this disciple was. Now, all the disciples were told that they were going to be scattered. That means that they were going to be set free or allowed to go to their homes. In John chapter 16, verse 32, again, we studied this. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each of his own home, which means you will be going home. You'll be scattered about. You will not be following me and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. This was, again, before he entered into his prayer in John chapter 16 and verse 32. We also seen in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, it says, Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Where it was written was in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. So it must have been fulfilled. It was told that they were going to flee. We also know that Jesus was trying to protect his disciples, was he not? When they came, what was it that he said? When it says this, he says in verse 8, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therein ye seek me, let these go their way. He was protecting them physically. We see that in this text. He did that throughout his ministry, and also he's even doing that at this very time. But despite all this, there was still one that just wouldn't have it. He wouldn't go about it. And I can appreciate Peter's zeal. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 21 through 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Peter was saying this. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, let's think about it again. As I mentioned, that I can appreciate Peter and his zeal for following after the Savior. Some might say that he really just loved the Lord so much that he couldn't see himself being separated from the Lord. That could be. But understand this. The Lord told him not just once, but he told them several times in Scripture that they were to be scattered, that they were to leave. He was to do this on his own. In fact, he reiterates it in John chapter 13 and verses 37 and 38. Peter saith unto him, Lord, why canst I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. All I ask, Peter, as you listen to me. How many of you remember Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1? Turn with me there, if you would, please. Jerry, why don't you read Psalm 1 and verse 1 for me, please? Ask you a question. Let's see if Peter actually heeded to that portion of Scripture. He walked in the counsel of the ungodly, according to John chapter 18 and verses 15 and 16. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. But Peter stood at the door without. He walked in the counsel of the ungodly. He stood in the way of sinners. In John chapter 18 and verse 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And he sat in the seat of the scornful, according to Luke chapter 22 and verse 55. And when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 again, as Jerry read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Peter was slipping into the path of temptation. It really ought to be a lesson to us, because we're no better than Peter. We need to be careful when we're walking into the counsel of the ungodly or getting our advice from the ungodly. We need to be careful when we stand in the way of sinners or in the same areas, in the same place, in the same portions of fellowship as they are. And then on top of that, we need to be very careful when we sit down with them, because it won't be very long before we're into the same thing as what Peter ran into. And now he was faced with a horrible, horrible situation of sin in his life. Did he lose his salvation? Absolutely not. The Lord said that when he would restore him. He said he would restore him. But there's also stated, and I believe it's in Mark, that when he denied him the third time and he swore and all that, it says that Jesus looked at him. And as Jesus looked at him, Peter just went to tears. He was a wreck. One last final thing that I want you to understand, that this speaks to the idea that Peter just wasn't even being obedient to his Savior's last words. Although Jesus was asked about his disciples and his doctrine, he never said one thing about his disciples. Never. John chapter 16 and verse 32 and 33, once more, it says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He wasn't saying this because of the fact that it was a rebuke to his disciples. He was saying this as a means to protect them. Protect them. When he was asked about his disciples and also his doctrine, he talked about his doctrine but didn't say one thing about his disciples. When the soldiers came to get him, what was it? Let these go. Was it not? I think we can see the contrast between the submission of our Savior and the rebellion of a disciple. Now that disciple, Peter, turns out to actually do a very wonderful work, and the Lord uses him. He restores him. He forgives him. In fact, he's even astray from the rest of the disciples when he comes back on the third day. They tell him to go and get Peter and bring him back. Why? Because he's one of his. We also see in Acts chapter 2, who was it that delivers the message on the day of Pentecost? Peter. Peter is not the head of the church, but Peter was definitely a leader that the Lord used, because Peter, out of all the disciples, out of all the disciples, the one that continued to rise to the top was Peter. Did he have his faults? Absolutely. Did he love his Lord? Absolutely. Did the Lord use him? Absolutely. Let's be dismissed. Dear Lord, we come to you now, Lord, again, truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to study a portion of your word. We ask now, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to remember Psalms 1:1, Lord, that we would understand and keep that in mind as we go throughout our daily lives. Lord, sometimes it's just so much easier to be able to go along with the crowd rather than to be able to stand out like a nail. We ask, Lord, that you would just be with us and strengthen us, Lord, and give us the courage to live a life that brings honor and glory to you, that we would live lives that would edify and glorify you, Lord, and that we would be able to separate ourselves, not in the manner of people, but in the manner of separating ourselves from sin, active sin in our lives. We ask, Lord, these things in Jesus Christ, in his precious name, amen.